Blog Talk Radio.
This is the Body of Christ Church, inviting you to our virtual living room, where we discuss today's issues and how those issues relate to the Holy Scriptures. So sit back, relax, and engage in conversation with us.
Good afternoon, and the Most High in the name of Christ bless you. I am Josiah, and welcome to our virtual living room where we examine recent events and other topics as they pertain to the Holy Scriptures. We give all praises to the Most High and Christ, and we give thanks for God's generous grace, mercy, and forgiveness. This week, we're going to talk about something that is akin to some of the popular stories that are out now. It's akin to the stories of Mike Brown and Eric Garner, and one of the older stories, Trayvon Martin. But in this case, though, it doesn't have to deal with death, but it does have to deal with injustice. It's a story of a young lady, Makia Hutchins, a name you probably haven't heard about. But Makia has a story. She's only 12 years old, and already she's experienced the claws of injustice. Joining me to discuss this subject is, first off, our brother Kazakia.
First and foremost, giving all praises to the Heavenly Father in Christ, it is definitely good to be back and looking forward to investigating this topic in the spirit of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, hopefully to the edifying of our listening audience.
And also sitting here in the virtual living room, we have our brother Kabar.
Hello, brothers and sisters. Good to once again be back with you, giving all honor and praise to the Heavenly Father. And Lord's will, edification does come out of this discussion in the spirit and the will of the Most High through Christ. Shalom.
Thank you, brother. And we also have our beloved brother, Abaja.
I'd like to say shalom to everyone. It's a pleasure to be here. We give all praise and thanks to the Heavenly Father in Christ for another opportunity to present the Holy Scriptures as it pertains to another topic that yet affects his people.
Well, brothers, I appreciate you all joining me here to discuss this topic. And, you know, you brothers are well-versed in the Holy Scriptures. And the expectation is that you will be able to shed some light on this as, you know, it pertains to behavior surrounding this. You know, there's certain things, you know, people are upset about the many people, not all people, are upset about Mike Brown and Eric Garner. And, you know, there are certain behaviors that are probably beneficial, edifying, and so forth. And I think you brothers will be able to bring that out. Now, here's a situation, though, that hasn't gotten a whole lot of press. This has to deal with Makia Hutchins. She's a 12-year-old student at a middle school in Georgia. And I got an article here from the New York Times. The title of the article is "Schools Discipline for Girls Differs by Race and Hue." It reads, "To hear Makia Hutchins speak, one must lean in close, as her voice barely rises above a whisper. In report cards, her teachers describe her as very focused, someone who follows the rules and stays on task. So it was a surprise for her grandmother when Makia, 12, and a friend got into trouble for writing graffiti on the walls of a gym bathroom at Dutchtown Middle School in Henry County last year. Even more of a surprise was the penalty after her family disputed the role she was accused of playing in the vandalism and said it could not pay about $100 in restitution. While both students were suspended from school for a few days, Makia had to face a school disciplinary hearing, and a few weeks later, a visit by a uniformed officer from the local sheriff's department who served her grandmother with papers accusing Makia of a trespassing misdemeanor and potentially a felony. As part of an agreement with the state to have the charges dismissed in juvenile court, Makia admitted to the allegations of criminal trespassing. Makia, who is African American, spent her summer on probation under a 7 p.m. curfew and had to complete 16 hours of community service in addition to writing an apology letter to a student whose sneakers were defaced in the incident. Her friend, who is white, was let go after her parents paid restitution. For all the attention placed on problems that black boys face in terms of school discipline and criminal justice, there is increasing focus on the way those issues affect black girls as well. Kazakia, I'd like to bring your attention to one part of this whole thing. And, I mean, this is like the most glaring part of it. And that's just the difference between the punishments between this African-American girl, black girl, Makia, and her white friend. You know, there's no mention. I mean, first of all, Kazakia, what she did was write graffiti in a bathroom. How many times have you seen graffiti in bathrooms in different places? And I understand she shouldn't do it. I mean, but is it just me that this is kind of over the top where the sheriff is coming by and this is potentially a felony for graffiti on the bathroom wall?
It would seem on the surface, and allow me to describe on the surface just right quick. It would seem on the surface, as in to secular persons, every day about their society, that yeah, this is somewhat overboard. That yes, it does seem somewhat excessive punishment for the crime for the crime committed. But for
First of all, is writing graffiti on the wall, is that actually a crime? I can understand it being against.
And some instances, and depending on where you are and what the statutes and the ordinances of where you are in which that particular act was committed, it can be a crime.
Okay.
You know, it wasn't too long ago in another country, well, a few years ago in another country, where we had a youth spriting accused of graffiti with a spray paint, and he was caned. So it just depends on where you are and what the ordinances of that particular place are in reference to the crime that was committed.
Okay.
Back to that essential question. On the surface, it may look and seem excessive for the crime or the misdemeanor or the felony that was committed. But for spiritual, it's something that we all, it's something a little bit different. It's something a bit more profound that we all have to learn and look and filter through the eyes of, through the words of the Heavenly Father found in the Bible.
Okay. All right. So what about you? What do you think? You know, does that seem over the top to you also?
Well, Josiah, as far as over the top is concerned, you know, it's one of those things where we just have to, it's really a broad topic, but to answer your question directly, I'm just going to go to the book of Romans. And all of these things go back into, you know, how it said in Proverbs, to train up a child in the way that they should go. And really getting to the root of it goes back to discipline at the home and allowing children to be held accountable for their actions. Now, the punishment, whether or not it fits the crime, I mean, the other young lady who happened to be white that was also caught up in the incident and admitted guilt, you know, her parents were able to pay the fine and they were able to move on. So you're looking at an issue of where one person who was also accused, you know, in the act, or caught in the act, and, you know, they were able to pay the fine and they were able to move on. The only reason that she was subjected to all of these other things was because they couldn't afford to pay the, I think it was like $100 or whatever, for restitution and things of that nature. But
and,
when we started, go ahead.
And I understand that part, you know, that she was able to pay the fine and all that stuff, right? But, you know, this is an issue at the school, and it's about graffiti. And here's what Makia said. According to Makia, her only offense was writing the word "hi" on the bathroom stall door while her friend scribbled the rest of the graffiti. I only wrote one word, and I had to do all that, Makia said in an interview. It isn't fair. Is it fair? It's not fair. How's that fair? She just wrote, all she did was wrote one word. It was two letters between her not having done anything at all and her actually doing something. So for two letters, she's got probation. She's facing a potential felony. She's doing all these hours of community service. And she's suspended from school for just two letters.
Well, you know what? And again, this is going back to the root of the deeper, a deeper issue here, because we try to, that's the same argument, and this is probably a horrible, example, but that's the same argument that you see countless of times on what's the show on the channel, the First 48, where you have a young man that goes into a robbery with his friends. And he was like, listen, I didn't know that they were going to do it. I was just driving the car. I didn't pull the trigger. Guess what? You're going to jail, too, with the rest of them. Regardless of whether you were in the car, regardless of whether you was having the actual weapon that shot and murdered somebody, you're going to be held accountable. Now, of course, that's a very, very extreme situation from a 12-year-old, middle school child writing two letters on a bathroom wall. But the point is still the same. If you don't break the rules, then you don't have to worry about trying to marginalize your part in the crime. And that's what parents should be teaching their kids. I want to read Romans chapter 13 and verse 1. And this is something that is just very, very basic understanding out of the Bible. Mm-hmm. And we don't have to get into trying to marginalize my part in breaking the law. Well, I didn't do as much as this person did. If we don't break the law, then we don't have to worry about that, do we? If we're not doing things that's going to get us into trouble, then I don't have to worry about sitting in front of a judge or explaining my part to a police officer or after the damage is done, sitting there trying to explain to my parents, well, I didn't do as bad or as much as this person did. Because if you didn't do it, then that wouldn't even be an argument. And that's the root of the problem. So this is Romans 13 and 1. It says, let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, but there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. So just straight flat out, listen, we understand what, the laws of the land are, and now dealing on a much smaller scale as far as observing the rules when you're at school, if you know basically there's going to be a penalty or punishment for writing on the walls, then don't do it. Straight just flat out, be subject unto the higher powers. Obey the rules. Because verse 2, it says, whosoever therefore resisteth the power, resisteth the ordinance of God, and they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. Because, ironically, Josiah, this young lady does not fit the profile of a student that's consistently in trouble or a student that consistently faces disciplinary action at her school, if I remember reading from the article.
That's correct.
Yeah. So here it is, and again, this is basically a situation where people are calling for leniency based on her pattern, if you will. Okay, she was a very good student, never had, received very good character, witness in a sense from her teachers or whatever. It's like, listen, she's a good student. Kids make mistakes. You shouldn't throw the book at her on her first offense. But the scripture says, for rulers are not a terror to good works, but to evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. So it just goes back to the point, if we don't do the crime, then we don't have to worry about doing the time. Just flat out.
I'm glad you brought this part up about the about her being a good student, because I want to direct that to Kabar. Kabar, this article says in report cards, her teachers described her as very focused, someone who follows the rules and stays on task. Okay, now, for a person like this, and keep in mind, United States of America, by many people, is known as the Christian country. It's a Christian nation, All right. So in other words, the beliefs in this country are biblically based. The scriptures talk in terms of mercy. Now, here is someone that has a pattern of good works. She has obviously done something. She's committed a violation. Two letters. Her family may not have, and according to the article here, they weren't able to pay the nearly $100 in restitution. Okay, so now because she's not able to come up with $100, the consequences are far more severe than $100 worth, in my opinion. I mean, you're talking about how many hours of community service? 16 hours of community service. 16 hours. Even if you pay that minimum wage, you're over $100. That's just part of it. And then 3 days of suspension from school. All right. And then she's writing an apology letter, and then she is having to go to these. She's got a 7 p.m. curfew. You know, she's 12 years old. She's not 18, 19 years old. She's not a 20-year-old that, you know, definitely you should know better. You know, children have to have an opportunity to grow up, you know, and which is the reason why in the scriptures, my understanding is, you know, when they're younger, the consequences they receive for doing things of this nature from their parents, they get some type of punishment. But the punishment, does it go this far for a 12-year-old, Kabar?
You see, yeah, I mean, I know right now you're focusing on the age and the character of the person.
Right. And mercy.
Yeah. And mercy. So the thing is, and those things alone would be fine and be, you know, it may even be quite understandable to look at it if you're only going to view it in those terms. But remember, what we're talking about is the disparity between what is happening to black girls as opposed to white girls and light-skinned black girls as opposed to dark-skinned black girls. So that's a key issue that we're talking about here. So really, we're talking about the disproportionate dispensement of either judgment or punishment as it relates to race. So we can't take that element out of it because that's why we're even talking about this whole thing. Now, you mentioned the thing about, listen, you know, had she, you know, paid the fine, everything would have been, you know, fine and dandy. You know, and I know you mentioned that the fine was, of course, you know, way less than the penalties that they inflicted on her, and the penalties would amount to more than that fine. So, but here's the thing. This is what we're looking at. Because we're looking at the race element, this girl is a quote-unquote black girl, and everything that happened to her as a result that didn't happen to the white girl. Okay. Now, because she's black, you know, that, of course, by default, that makes her belonging to a certain race. And the race that we know she belongs to is from the descendants of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. It makes her an Israelite. And then belonging to that race brings certain benefits and it brings certain responsibilities. One of the responsibilities that it brings is Amos chapter 3 and verse 2. And that says, this is what God is telling to his people, the nation of Israel. It says, only you have I known of all the families of the earth. Therefore, I will punish you for all your iniquities. All right? So now the brother mentioned that, you know, in Romans chapter 12, and then I'll also read to you 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 13. And what does that say? Similar to Romans 13, submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, for Christ's sake, whether it be to the king as supreme or unto governors, as unto them that are sent by him, meaning God, for the punishment of evildoers, those who break the laws, God and man, and for the praise of them that do well, says a similar thing in Romans. So the fact of the matter is that whereas other nations may not be punished for every single crime that they commit or every iniquity that they do, is not going to be the same with Israelites. they will be punished for every crime and every iniquity because of the status that they hold and the position that they're in with God.
Hold up. Because I know there's a whole lot of other people that are listening to this, and they are saying, wait a minute. Are you saying that because of who she is, that this is exactly what she's supposed to get?
Precisely.
That's what it sounds. Really?
Precisely.
So now let's make sure that we're clear here. This white girl, according to the article, she has done most of the vandalism. She's the one that defaced the sneakers. She's the one that did most of the writing. Makia only did two letters. And you're saying that for the white girl to just simply pay the restitution, the 2 or 3 days in school suspension and go on her way, that is, according to the scriptures, that's completely fine.
When you look at what happened, let's look at it. Let's ask a plain question. Did the white girl get punished for all her iniquities?
She got punishment, yes.
For everything that she did?
Yes.
Because obviously the kid went through a lot more and faced a lot more punishment than the white girl did.
Yeah, it was her punishment. Makia's punishment is harsh in compared to the white girl's punishment. The white girl's punishment, her friend's punishment, is probably more in line with what you would think. You know, the restitution for the sneakers, $100. Okay, if you get $100 from both of them, it's like $200. So some kids wear expensive sneakers, so yeah, I can kind of understand that. So the 3 days in suspension, yes, that sounds like it's in line, okay? But when you start having a kid do, 16 hours of community service and they're on 7 p.m. curfew, a 7 p.m. curfew for what? I mean, she's not a bad kid. You know, she's 12 years old.
I understand that. And then the possibility of facing a felony, which is, it's like, where's the felony part coming in at?
Exactly.
Totally understand.
A felony is like, did you rob somebody? Did you kill somebody? That's felony stuff, you know? I mean, that's real serious stuff because a felony follows you for life, and it prevents you from entering all many different facets of life, like different jobs and so forth, different organizations you can't get into because of the felony. So it will tremendously limit her for the rest of her life, and she's doing this at 12 years old. And this is like, it's like a 3-year-old using coloring crayons on the wall, you know?
I understand.
For real.
So let's look at it from another angle, because we looked at it from a racial angle. And the difference in as far as the penalties that's going to come down on a person of a certain descent as opposed to another. And we know when we talk about that descent, we're talking about an Israelite as opposed to, according to the scripture, what would be called the Gentile, somebody who is a non-Israelite. And the way God is viewing it, God is saying you have to be subject to every ordinance, and if you break any of them, you're going to get punished in a way that others won't be punished. Or in a way that others, in the severity that others won't receive. Now, I'm not saying that those people will not get their punishment, but it's not going to be in the same way that an Israelite would. So I'm saying the administration of it is going to be different. Go on.
I was just saying that's exactly what happened. I mean, there's definitely a difference here, and you're saying that's what the scripture says. You know, I mean, a lot of people.
Josiah?
Yes.
Just going back to something that came from the article, okay, had she paid the fine, she would have never had to go deal with the rest of the things that she was facing. And even just to point out, because some people can argue, there's more about classism than racism, and that takes us in a completely different direction. You know, when you start bringing in the whole thing about the depression of jobs and the amount
of
African-Americans.
I'm about to hit that right now.
Yeah, the amount that African Americans are unemployed versus whites and things of that nature, and the amount of disposable income. Okay, fine. I'll let Kabar deal with that. But
well, Kabar,
hold.
Yeah,
Kabar, you go ahead, and then I'll come back and make my point.
That was the other angle I wanted to look at it from.
Mm-hmm.
Because we see, okay, well, listen, the white girl, she was able to pay her $100 fine and just forget about the whole matter. Why wasn't that black girl and her parents in a position to do the same thing?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so let's look at that. Deuteronomy chapter 28, remember, this is why it ties right back into who she is as a person, her race, which is what we're talking about anyway. But why are black people particularly singled out and got to deal with all this stuff? There's a reason for that. Deuteronomy chapter 28, and it's because of who we are. We are descendants of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. We are under that second covenant that's living through Christ, and in that covenant, there are certain stipulations and certain guidelines and commandments that we have to keep, and if we break them, we're going to be particularly punished and handled because of that. So Deuteronomy chapter 28, when we start looking at the curses placed upon our people, that is only lifted through the receiving of the new covenant and repentance through Christ, those curses that aren't on any other nation, what is that? Let's look at that economic aspect to it. Deuteronomy 28:16. The Lord said on our people, cursed shalt thou be in the city, and cursed shalt thou be in the field. Verse 17, cursed shall be thy basket and thy store. Now, that's a particular one to be interested in, because your basket and your store, in those times, your basket is what you went out and gathered in, right, from your produce mm-hmm. and what your land produced. And mm-hmm. remember, what your land produced was congruent directly to your income, because what your land produced was able to sell and receive income, monetary or trade or whatever it was. But it was your means for producing income. Your basket is what you went out to gather that in order to have that income. Now it says your basket and your store. The store is what you're able to save up of all of that stuff that you gather in. So when you apply that to modern day times, our basket is talking about our income. Our store is talking about what we are able to save. Now, the Lord said both of those things are going to be cursed because of our disobedience against him, because we don't apply and follow Christ. So our basket and our store are cursed. Then you wonder why this woman did not have the $100 to make this problem go away.
Actually, Josiah, I need to correct a statement that I made earlier in the show, because I went back and just reread a piece of the article here. Mm-hmm. I'm going to read this and then deal with my correction. It says, even more of a surprise was the penalty after her family disputed the role she was accused of playing in the vandalism and said it could not pay about $100 in restitution. It says, while both students were suspended from school for a few days, Mika, this is a young African-American girl, had to face a school disciplinary hearing and a few weeks later a visit by a uniformed officer from the local sheriff's department who served her grandmother with papers accusing Mika of trespassing misdemeanor, and potentially a felony. So it's not very clear here that the reason why she was subjected to, you know, the sheriff's office being involved was directly related to her family's inability to pay the fine. So I just wanted to make that correction, because I assumed that in the beginning, but it doesn't actually make that clear that because she did not, they could not pay the fine, that these other things were introduced. So
okay.
You know, but going back to my original point, Josiah, is that regardless of how much of a role we play in an incident, you know, we can't bank on the fact that, you know what, well, I just ask for forgiveness instead of permission. That's a fool's premise. And you're going to be punished as a fool. Well, you know what, he was a good kid. You know what, this person was a straight-A student. And usually, you know, generally when you're talking about standing before a judge to figure out how you are going to be penalized in a sense, or how you're going to be judged, they take those things into consideration. And I think this is probably, you know, what has people up in arms. They're like, listen, she doesn't fit the profile. She's a straight-A student.
Right.
She gets a good report from all of her teachers.
Right.
Why are you treating this young black girl like this, even though she couldn't pay the fine? So it's one of those things where, you know, if we want to, you know, argue about how the disparities are there and people not being, you know, this is the punishment doesn't fit the crime, then dang it, go get on a committee. But again, if we don't teach our children to abide by the rules, then you know what? A lot of times, I mean, we were brought over here as slaves, and typically we weren't meant to be given a fair shake in this country, just flat out. And given the climate of a lot of things, yeah, the laws have changed, but given the climate that things are taking, you know, that this nation is in right now, here it is. You can see a video of you know, say the Eric Garner case. One demographic will look at it and say, we all looking at the same video. One demographic will look at it and say, you know what, he was resisting arrest. Another demographic will say, that's police brutality. Mm-hmm. They killed that man. And everybody's looking at the same video, you know. But in regards to this speaking here, you know, it's just one of those things. This is why it's so, so important for parents to teach their children to walk the straight line, because we were brought over here as slaves. And that goes back to another thing that I'm going to get to a little bit later in the show, Josiah. Now, I didn't mean to cut you off. But by parents not teaching their children the true reason why we were brought over here as slaves and who put us here, and it wasn't a white man. I'm giving you a spoiler. It wasn't the white man that brought us over here, or who even had the ability to do it in and of himself. Then that basically broadens our children's perspective on why it is important to abide by the rules and to not bank on, well, you know what, little Becky over there did it, and she only had to pay a fine, and they let her go. She was only suspended. But my child, they're going to bring the police in here, and they're going to do this, and it's just a racism. No, it's disobedience to the commandments of the Lord. That's ultimately what it boils down to, and that's the point that Kabar was getting at earlier. So back to you, brother.
Okay,
let me just point this out.
Sure.
Because, and this is the reason why I tied the fine to, as far as, you know, the issue pretty much being resolved when you look at the white parents as far as their point of view. I would say it was fourth or fifth paragraph down. It says, Edward Perkey, the father of Makia's friend, the white friend, said that both girls are guilty of vandalism and that race had nothing to do with their desperate treatment. I don't agree with that, but whatever. It says they were caught red-handed, he said in a telephone interview. Mr. Perkey said paying restitution seemed to have been the reason that his daughter had avoided further discipline. He said school officials had told him, quote, take care of the damages, pay for the shoes, and we'll move past this. So that's why I was linking that, you know, the fine to the thing.
I guess.
Okay.
But the racial element, see, even, you know, that being, you know, all fine and dandy, the racial element being this black woman wasn't in the same position as that white family to do that. And why? Which takes you right back to Deuteronomy chapter 28. So that's the real crux of the matter is that Deuteronomy 28, not what she's thinking, is the reason why we're in this position, the reason why she wasn't in a position to pay those damages, the reason why she's receiving, you know, more punishment than the other woman. All of this ties back to we are what nation we are, what God we serve, and what commandments we have to keep.
So, Kazakia, you see here what Mr. Perkey said about him having paid the restitution for his daughter who is white, and he's saying that this has nothing to do with race. He's saying that it merely had to deal with him. He said, Mr. Perkey said paying restitution seemed to have been the reason that his daughter had avoided further discipline. In other words, he's indicating here that had he not done that, she would have received further discipline also. He said school officials had told him, take care of the damages, pay for the damaged shoes, and we'll move on past this. Now, is there anything in the scriptures that might bring some further clarification to this whole little difference between the way Mr. Perkey approached it and the way Makia's grandmother approached it?
Yeah, there is. And a matter of fact, Kabar was right in the chapter. I would like to stay in Deuteronomy 28, but I would like to go a little bit further. Basically, Kabar was in let's look at verse 18. Cursed shall be the fruit of thy body and the fruit of thy land, increase of thy kind of the flocks of thy sheep. I wanted to emphasize specifically, cursed shall be the fruit of thy body and the fruit of thy land. Specifically through that body, which are your children. So in other words, we are reading, this article is a testament to what we're reading, or what just was read, excuse me, in Deuteronomy 28 chapter. Due to the fact, and let's look at this spiritually, Let's take all the restitution things out of it for right now. Let's just look at it spiritually. Due to the fact that this young lady, first and foremost, because you got two elements here, due to the fact that this young lady is who she is, coupled with the fact that she was caught red-handed vandalizing, it doesn't matter how few or how many letters she actually spray-painted on the wall, but she violated one of the rules of a said institution. I bought you read it in Romans 13. Now we read it in Deuteronomy 28. Because we are cursed as a people and we continue to walk outside of the commandments of the Heavenly Father, we continue to walk outside of the said law, statutes, and ordinances of where we are, and we are responsible for following those said ordinances as long as they do not violate the commands of the Heavenly Father. Now we are in subjection to whatever type of punishment that the administration may deem fit to levy upon us. It doesn't matter whether society deems it as overly excessive or not enough. We're at that mercy because of who we are and also because of what we have done. So when you look at those two elements together, we have situations such as a young lady, not even a teenager yet, but look at all these things that have been levied against her because of her actions. Now, in response to what you're putting toward me, let's look also at what the point that Abaji was bringing out, which is important. It is also important to make sure our children are well educated. Teach them at home. I'm not talking about curriculum so much as I'm referring to teach them the commandments. Teach them what it means not to steal. Teach them what it means not to lie. Teach them what it means to serve and worship the Heavenly Father. Because when they have that type of foundation, and also in the same vein, teaching them what it means or the type of tumult that you fall into when you disobey the Heavenly Father. When you couple those elements into the overall equation, then your children are better prepared to deal in society, a society in the which we are looked at still, believe it or not, as second/third-class citizens. So one of the main elements that can be taken from this is, yes, first and foremost, it is unfortunate that she had to suffer the type of things that she suffered due to her actions, whereas the white child didn't suffer nearly as much. And as far as paying the restitution is concerned, could she have paid the restitution? Yeah, she could. Oh, well, I apologize, because the article stated that they couldn't. However, when you in that situation, you either pay or render what is supposed to be rendered, or you suffer the consequences, if that makes any sense. Verse 19. Something also important, cursed shalt thou be when thou comest in, and cursed shalt thou be when thou goest out. Ultimately, we come into this world cursed, not knowing who we are, not knowing why we are, or why we are in the situation that we are in. And when we leave this earth or going out, I'm not even going to put a percentage with it, but there stands a probability that you won't know unless you stop, evaluate yourself, And repent and come back and serve the Heavenly Father. However, when you look at that, cursed shalt thou be when thou comest in, when we come into this land, when we come into this earth, guess what? Because we are the children of Israel, because we are the sons of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, because we have transgressed and violated the Heavenly Father's law, statutes, and commandments, another part of that curse is we will be the object of disparate and unfair treatment.
Okay. All right. Was that you, Abaja?
No, well, I mean, I was just saying, putting a period on the end of that. But, Josiah, just very briefly, I wanted to read Proverbs 22 and 15 just to kind of speak to one point that we touched on it, but I just wanted to really highlight it. And it says that foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from him. And I'm focusing more so on the former point or the former part of that scripture where it says foolishness is bound in the heart of a child. Because anyone that has children or has raised children or been around children long enough, you understand that for every 100 times you tell a child how to do something or not to do something and why, they are inevitably going to do it. You know, certain things they're just going to do. The scripture says that foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, meaning that children are going to do foolish things. It's bound to them. As part of, it's in their nature. Okay? But, again, you know, so a 12-year-old girl who's a straight-A student and gets a good report from her teachers and all of that, she's not going to be perfect. You know, that's a given. And, you know, so it's just one of those things where, you know, regardless of how perfect we believe our children to be, they're going to, you know, do things that inevitably get them into trouble. So, you know, it just kind of just goes back to, okay, you know what, she did something and she shouldn't be punished as harshly as she's being punished, you know, which is really the point of the article and what it's trying to highlight.
Right.
If I could touch one more point in Deuteronomy 28.
Sure you can, but let me just, before you go there, let me just illustrate something. We have Adrian Peterson, and if someone doesn't know who Adrian Peterson is, he is probably the most prolific running back in the NFL right now, although he hadn't played this season. And the reason why he hasn't played this season is because he was disciplining his son. He used corporal punishment. The corporal punishment he used was to take a switch, and he beat him around his thighs. From what I understand, it was around his thighs. And in doing so, he broke the skin. So now, Adrian Peterson has been suspended from the NFL, it looks like at this point, because he just got his appeal was just denied for the entire season. I'm not sure, but I think he's still getting paid. All right, but he's been suspended for the entire season. He had to actually go to court and face criminal charges for a child abuse because he was punishing his son and he went a little bit over. He left bruises. So now in this case, this girl, she wrote the word hi. It would have taken the custodian all of 3 or 4 minutes to take some, if that, to take some type of cleanser and clean that off, and it's all gone. Okay? So what has happened in this case is the powers that be have taken a switch to her, and they have beat the blood of penalties out of her. So now, it's consequences, yes. But I think that at some point, the consequences are extreme. And I think that in this case, legitimately, these consequences that she's suffering are extreme. And there's a part of this article goes to illustrate that. It says data from the Office for Civil Rights at the United States Department of Education show that from 2011 to 2012, black girls in public elementary and secondary schools nationwide was suspended at a rate of 12% compared with a rate of just 2% for white girls, and more than girls of any other race or ethnicity. In Georgia, the ratio of black girls receiving suspensions in the same period compared with white girls was 5-1, and in Henry County, that ratio was 2.3-1. Said J.D. Harden, the spokesman for the county school district. And researchers say, and this goes into another part of what we are discussing here, and researchers say that within minority groups, darker-skinned girls are disciplined more harshly than light-skinned ones. So going to Edward Perkey's statement, it's not about race. He said that, you know, the disparate treatment was not about race. It didn't have anything to do with race, because it obviously has something to do with skin color. Well, maybe not obviously, but according to the stats, it may have something to do with skin color. So then both girls need a punishment for it. They need to understand you don't do that. Okay? And both girls were punished. And based on the scriptures that were being brought out, yeah, if Israel does something wrong, then they're going to get punished for it. And they may get punished more severely than the other nations. But even in the laws of this country, the laws of this country, as of the 1960s, I think under the Johnson administration, says that discrimination based on race is illegal. So it's against the law for them to come up with a different punishment for white girls as opposed to black girls.
Well, Josiah, the whole thing, the proof of burden in this case lies on the victim. Prove it. You see what I'm saying?
Prove what?
That because she's black, she got punished more harshly according to the secular laws of the land and how she's being dealt with. Prove it.
Well,
and that's the statement that comes that, you know, when those arguments are being made, that's the answer to the accusation. Well, how can you prove that, you know, she's being discriminated because she's black? And it basically leads, you know, to a situation where you have a dog chasing its tail and not really dealing with the issue at its heart. You know, because when you know, because there are a few brothers in this church that are in education, and they work very closely with kids in middle school, you know, high school and even elementary school levels. And when you know, hear about all of the issues that these children are dealing with at home, school is not going to help these kids with the issues that they're dealing with home. And sadly, schools a lot of times is the only place that they can come to have some type of serenity, because the mother's boyfriend is molesting the daughter or the son, or some type of turmoil or something going on at the household or whatever. You know, these are the things and issues that a lot of these children are dealing with, and because no one is there to set the proper example and to explain to them why these things are happening, then they tend to act out at school. And with a large result of that is the disciplinary action that we see. We've seen the end result of it. And you know, that's really what's going to the root of the problem, is that the issues that are going on in the household is what's really at the root of it.
Okay.
Can I touch on this Deuteronomy 20 issue?
Yes, absolutely. Go ahead, bro.
Yeah, because the thing is, I mean, you know, of course, the laws of this land may claim, you know, equal treatment under the law and all of that, but, I mean, we can see from the statistics that doesn't happen, period. I mean, you know, it just doesn't happen. I mean, if you want to look at the, you know, imprisonments, of course, disproportionately you have higher black inmates than white inmates, even though the black population in the United States is much smaller than the white population. So how does that happen? I mean, but the fact of the matter is, the question is, why are these things happening?
Uh-huh.
And see, the solutions that our people will turn to is geopolitical socioeconomics. And that's never going to be the solution.
Wait, that works,
because,
brother.
Okay, geopolitical socioeconomics is just, you know, our people focusing on politics, social programs, and financial and economic issues as a solution to the problems that our people face, okay, which will in turn, you know, of course, if we're able to improve in all of those areas, that'll put us in a better global position as a people. But the thing is, that's never going to be the answer, because that's not the problem. The problem isn't money. It isn't politics. It isn't any of those things. The problem is, you look at Deuteronomy chapter 28, God is going to tell you what the problem is and why is it. God is the one jacking us up, not the white man. And, of course, we'll seem strange, you know, a lot strange, so God's supposed to be helping us. Yes, and he will if we obey his commandments and repent from the sins and the transgressions we're committing. Let's look at the problem from God. Look at the problem the way God looked at the problem. Deuteronomy 28:20. The Lord shall send upon thee cursing, vexation, and rebuke. In all that thou settest thine hands unto for to do, until thou be destroyed, and until thou perish quickly. Why? Because of the wickedness of thy doings, whereby thou hast forsaken me. That's what the Most High is saying. So he's going to send upon us cursing, vexation, and rebuke. Let's look at that word vexation. That word vexation that he's sending upon us is tumult, confusion, disturbance, turmoil, disquietude, panic. Meaning our lives are unsettled and tranquil and you know, free and open like other people's lives are. No, what are we facing? Confusion, tumult, disturbance, turmoil, disquietness, and panic. That's what we're facing. But that's exactly what the Lord said will happen to us when we receive these curses because we won't obey his commandments. He said he will send cursing, vexation, and rebuke. In all that thou settest thine hand unto for to do, meaning no matter what you try, it's not going to work. So you could try economics. You could try politics. You could try social programs. He said it's not going to work. Until what? Until thou be destroyed and until thou perish quickly. Okay, so nothing we do is going to work. What's going to work? What's the problem then? Because of the wickedness of thy doings. Oh, that's the problem. Because of sin? Sin is the reason why all of this is happening? Yes, sin is the reason why it's happening. It says, wherefore thou hast forsaken me, meaning his commandments. So we got to repent. Repentance is the key, and that's the show that we have on one of the shows. Repentance is the key.
A shameless
repentance
plug.
Is what gets us, shameless plug. Repentance is what gets us out of the economic problems, the social problems, the political problems. It realigns us with the power, which is God, and then he begins to move to change our condition through Christ. That's
uh-huh.
What
okay.
I want to, you made a comment, Josiah, and I want to go back to revisit what you said. You said something to the effect of, help me out, before Kabar brought the education that he just brought up. What were some of the comments that you made? Because you said something to the effect of, you know, it was supposed to be, you know, the punishment was supposed to be for both the children, and that was it, or something to that effect.
There's laws against discriminating based upon race.
There it is.
You know,
uh-huh.
Right. Right. There should be the same punishment for the same violation.
Right.
I wanted to say crime, but, you know, I'm not really going to consider this to be a crime because it's something that happens at school and it's only graffiti at school. It'd be different. Mm-hmm. I agree with what you said earlier in the show. If you are on the street somewhere in a city and you put graffiti up, then you got to deal with the cops. You know, there's no principle to deal with. The same way your kid, as long as they do certain things in your house, then they're dealing with you for punishment and so forth. But if they do those exact same things in somebody's store, for example, then they may have to deal with the police about that, you know, although they're children. The police may still mm-hmm. be called in. It's left up to the discretion of the store manager, whoever has the authority over the store. But in this case, it's the school. So the school has the authority, the principal and superintendents and so forth, and they, you know, have certain rules as when to call authorities in and when not to. And in this case, obviously, they didn't have to call the authorities in because they were able to go ahead and settle this with the white girl without doing so. But then with the black girl, they got the authorities involved.
Now, you said something to the effect of basically it's against the law, discrimination. Was established as illegal during the administration of the 60s.
Yeah.
Was it, I forgot the president's name. But I wanted to read the scripture, and hopefully that helps to bring it a little bit more into perspective. And that's the scripture is this. This is Job chapter 9 and verse 24. The earth is given into the hand of the wicked. He covereth the faces of the judges thereof. If not, where and who is he? Now, the point that I wanted to really emphasize was the first part. The earth is given into the hand of the wicked. It does not matter how just one esteems the laws of this country to be. The powers that be right now, they're not operating or basing their laws or the legality or true justice off of thus saith the Lord out of the Bible. So in other words, what's being brought out now is this. The claim was, or the statement was made that it's been, discrimination has been, is illegal. Guess what? It's still happening because the powers that be that are now in existence as of right now, they're not operating on thus saith the Lord, true restitution or true justice out of the Holy Bible. They're operating or they're basing their quote-unquote justice or their quote-unquote legality off of what they esteem. So as far as this is concerned, when you have a wicked or corrupt system of laws or statutes in place, what justice or what true legality or what true degree of restitution do you really expect that you're going to receive? In other words, the powers that be right now, they can enforce something to the fullest extent of the said law, or they can relax the laws. It's at their discretion, which is the reason why we, as a people, really have to be mindful of what we do, how we carry ourselves, especially in public. Because whereas a violation may be committed, whereas a white person may get away with it with a quote-unquote slap on the wrist, when it comes to us, we're having the book being thrown at us. Here again, I have to read it for the sake of emphasis. The earth is given to the hand of the wicked. If it's wrong and if there's a punishment to be meted out, that punishment is supposed to be fair. It doesn't matter what nation the person is. The punishment is supposed to be fair and equal. Obviously, what we're talking about right here in this particular conversation, that is not the case. And that is because of the wickedness that that this earth, this society, is currently in which for said misdemeanor, we're gonna administer this punishment for this person, or we're going to administer or we're going to administer something different or something a bit more harsh for another person.
Okay. So what I'm essentially getting from you, brothers, is that you have to realize who you are. You are Israel. You've got to obey. And if you don't obey, don't expect that you're going to receive the same consequences that someone else of a different race, different nation or nationality or ethnic group, don't expect that you're going to receive the same consequences that they're receiving. Chances are pretty good that you may receive worse consequences. And
history's on our side on that fact.
I'm sorry, what's that again?
I said history is on our side regarding that statement.
Okay, all right. And I agree with you, you know, and this is the thing that people are protesting and so forth right now is unequal treatment, where the punishment is more severe for people who are quote-unquote African-American or black descent or whatever that is, or minorities, okay, as opposed to whites. All right, but let me go a little bit further into this article, because that's one part of this article. Okay, dealing with those things. So you brothers have brought that out, right? But then there's another part in there, because I read earlier some statistics, and it says that black girls in public elementary and secondary schools nationwide was suspended at a rate of 12% compared with a rate of 2% for white girls. At the bottom of that paragraph, it says, and researchers say that within minority groups, darker-skinned girls are disciplined more harshly than light-skinned ones. And later on in this article, another paragraph goes into another thing the girls have in common is dark skin color, which researchers at Villanova University says affected the likelihood of being suspended. An analysis by Villanova researchers of data from the National Longitudinal Surveys of Youth and the National Longitudinal Study of Adolescent Health indicated that black girls with the darkest skin tones were three times more likely to be suspended than black girls with the lightest skin. They are different. Let's see if this goes on. Okay, so apparently this whole thing is not, it's like it's not about race, like Mr. Persky said. He said he didn't see what it was about race. It's about skin color. Had it been a light-skinned black girl and a dark-skinned black girl, the outcome may have been the same as what happened here, where the light-skinned black girl, they pay $100 for restitution, and they go on, and then the dark-skinned black girl, she gets slammed.
Josiah, I would almost argue the validity of that argument, because I don't recall ever seeing it when they do the census. What skin color, what shade of black are you? Are you high yellow? Are you a red bone? Are you blue black? Are you caramel? I don't never recall seeing that on the census. But at any rate, you know.
Okay, well, this is not about the census, though. Keep in mind.
I know.
Because it says another thing.
How are they getting that information?
Let me read it again.
Go ahead.
Another thing the girls have in common is dark skin color, which researchers at Villanova University says affects the likelihood of being suspended. An analysis by Villanova researchers of data from the National Longitudinal Surveys of Youth and the National Longitudinal Study of Adolescent Health indicated that black girls with the darkest skin tones were three times more likely to be suspended than black girls with the lightest skin. So that's where the data came from the National Longitudinal Organizations and analysis by Villanova researchers.
Yeah, but again, it's like, okay, so you went in and you looked at the child involved in each and every case. Okay, she's darker. She's lighter. She's darker. You know what I'm saying? I mean, so regardless, you know, that's the focal point of what they're choosing to use to indicate, you know, whether or not, you know, a child is, you know, dealt with more harshly than the other. And that's beside the point. When we look at the scriptures, you know, it's beside the point. The Lord said that his people, because Kabar read in Deuteronomy 28th chapter earlier, and Kazakia read in Deuteronomy 28th chapter earlier in the show as well, because that chapter, see, I want to go to the book of Isaiah. Just to go further to this point, okay, because they're talking about dark skin, light skin, and, you know, it's not about race, it's about the skin color.
Right.
We're talking about sin, okay? They want to sit there and talk about dark skin and light skin and passing the brown paper bag test and all this other stuff. Basically, all these things that are used to divide, let them have that argument. But what we're dealing with is the breaking of the Lord's commandments. I want to read very quickly in the book of Isaiah,
okay,
chapter 9 and verse 16. Because this is the thing. See, we were only taught what our parents knew as far as why there are so-called racial disparities in this country, okay, or why we're dealing with the things that we're dealing with. And a lot of that comes from our so-called leaders over the years. So actually, I started at Isaiah 9 and 13. It says, "For the people turneth not unto him that smiteth them, neither do they seek the Lord of hosts." Because both brothers brought up different points earlier in the show. We want to seek to, okay, you know what? We were brought over here as slaves. We were only seen as three-fifths of a man. And, you know, when they abolished slavery, when Lincoln freed the slaves, you know, after the Civil War, you know, we had a time period of Reconstruction. You know, we had our own black towns and black businesses where, you know, the dollar would change hands 6 to 8 times in the black community before it left. And then, you know, they came in and bombed those cities and burned them down, and they were lynching us. Then you had the Jim Crow era. Then you had the quote-unquote modern civil rights era, where you had the Voting Rights Act and all those other things passed circa 1965 and all of that. That's what they teach us. Oh, and by the way, we brought over here slaves. And that's the mantra, or that's the story that's been taught to us. You was running over there butt-naked heathens over there in the country before some other people of color sold you to us. But the thing is that now, by seeking, okay, through politics, we need more black people in political office. oh, we need to get more black people in school. We got to get more opportunities for our children. Not understanding that the same sins that ran amok amongst us when we were poor, we are now emboldened and have more opportunity to indulge in those same sins now that we have more access to cash, more access to discretionary income and things of that nature. I just got more opportunities to do what I wanted to do. But what the Lord did, I went out here and got that money. That's the attitude that our people have. And it says, For the people turneth not to him that smiteth them. Because if our people were taught the Bible the way that we're supposed to be taught it, then we would understand the blame doesn't lie on the so-called white man that brought us over here in slavery, the so-called man that's making up the rules and punishing us more harsh than so-called white people. No, this is the Lord's doing. But why? Let's read on. It says, therefore the Lord will cut off from Israel the head and the tail, branch and rush in one day, going into how we went into captivity and we lost our land and how we are being punished to this day. Verse 15, it says, the ancient and the honorable, he is the head, and the prophet that teaches lies, he is the tail. So the Lord has given us the order and given us the understanding about the ancient and the honorable. First of all, the ancient and the honorable is Jesus Christ. Okay? And when you get down to those amongst ourselves, the ancient and the honorable were those that were dealing with the Heavenly Father according to his holy word. That's what made them honorable. But we wanted to deal with that prophet that was teaching lies. We wanted to deal with the so-called leaders that's, hey, we got to get out and we got to vote. We got to get out and we got to get all of these educational and midnight basketball programs to give our kids something to do. All that means is they're just going to shoot up the basketball game instead of shooting up the streets because they never learned how to deal with those things at home. Their parents never taught them. The grandparents never taught them. Our so-called preachers and pastors in the church, Reverend Al, Reverend Jesse Jackson, they ain't opened up a Bible yet. They didn't teach our people these things. Because let's read on. Verse 16, it says, for the leaders of this people cause them to err, and they that are led of them are destroyed. Meaning that our people thinking that education, finance, politics, all these other things are going to be the root solution, is going to address the root cause of the issues that face people of color in this country, the Lord says that they that are led of them are destroyed. So we're going to continue to hold hands and march. We're going to continue to believe that having a so-called black president is going to resolve the issue of fathers not being in the households and the foolishness you see on TV, what's this jackass that has freaking 15 babies by 70 babies by 15 different women or something like
right.
that. Right. But we got a black president. What does that have to do with you dealing with all these different women? What does that have to do with all these women spreading their legs every Tom, Dick, and Harry that comes across their way? Absolutely nothing. But we got a black president. But we can vote now. My child can go to college. You know, we can get student loans. The Lord said, for the leaders of this people cause them to err, and they that are led of them are destroyed. Because those leaders are not teaching our people the true reason why we were brought over here in slavery. They're not teaching our people, more importantly, how to repent through Jesus Christ according to as the word is written. So the Lord said what? Therefore the Lord shall have no joy in their young men, neither shall have mercy on the fatherless and widows. For everyone is an hypocrite and an evildoer, and every mouth speaketh folly. For all this his anger is not turned away, but his hand is stretched out still. So because our people want to trust in education, because we want to trust in these programs, because we want to trust in whatever the socioeconomical higher status and all this other jargon and big words that you see people like Michael Eric Dyson and all of them use, and mind you, education has its place. These programs have their place, okay? All of these things, getting a skill and having your – all of these things, they have their place. Nobody's arguing against that. But to think that those are going to address the root cause of the issues that plague our people is insane. And without teaching repentance through Jesus Christ as it is written, not what your pork chop pastors and preachers are teaching in church, not the whole the so-called modern-day Christianity that a lot of people ascribe to or following today, that ain't got nothing to do with what's written in the Bible. But because of this, the Lord said that he was not going to take any joy in our young men. Why? You see them filled up in the prison houses. And now we read an article about what's happening to our sisters, our young sisters. He ain't taking no joy in that. Why? Because our people ain't teaching the right thing. And he says he's not going to have mercy on the fatherless. Where is her father? Where is her mother? Why is her grandmother keeping her? We don't know.
Great
it
question.
Doesn't really, doesn't really go into all of that. It could be maybe the mother's dealing with a situation and this is the best position. You know, she has someone, you know, that's taking care of her and this is the best place for her.
They may be deceased. They may be deceased.
They may be deceased. You know, it could be a very logical, you know, explanation for it, for whatever.
Right.
But it says that what? For everyone is a hypocrite and a evil doer, and every mouth speaketh folly. Because nobody wants to deal with the words of wisdom that comes out of the scriptures. We want to address our issues with the things that we want so that we continue in breaking the commandments of the Heavenly Father. And that's really what the whole thing is really dealing with. That's where the issue is. But nobody wants to deal with it, and you will never see a reverend or a preacher that's on TV deal with that, ever. Back to you, bro.
Okay. All right. Either your other brothers have anything to say in regard to this whole thing in dealing with skin color, that the punishment is not racially based, it is based on skin color.
I want to touch on something. I'm going to read a quote, and I'll tell you where the quote is coming from.
Mm-hmm.
It says, "Don't forget, you must pitch the old black versus the young black male, and a young black male against the old black male. You must use the dark-skinned slaves versus the light-skinned slaves, and the light-skinned slaves against versus the dark-skinned slaves. You must use the female versus the male and the male versus the female. You must also have white servants who oversee who distrust all blacks." That's a quote coming from the Willie Lynch letter on how to make a slave. Now you got people who's going to dispute whether that's true or not and whether this letter is authentic or not. But the fact of the matter is, the strategies are being used, period. Whether you want to say that the letter is actually authentic or not, the strategies that we just read about are definitely being implemented.
Mm-hmm.
So this whole dark skin versus the light skin is a very old tactic and is used to divide our people, to allow ourselves to divide us, because we see that amongst ourselves, that you have the black, light-skinned Israelites having issues with the dark-skinned versus the light-skinned. We do that. We fight. We have those divisions amongst ourselves. How did that get amongst us? How did that get into our psyche? Exactly.
Right.
So we look at this letter, and we want to dispute whether it's authentic or not, but we can see the results in our own attitudes and demeanor. Okay, when you look at, you must also have white servants and overseers who distrust all blacks. Look at your police force in Ferguson. Look at your police force all over the world. Look at your administrators and your government officials. Is that a myth? Or is that really what's happening? I mean, that's what we're talking about here.
Mm-hmm.
See, that's the problem. Whether we developed ourselves or whether it was implemented on us, and, you know, we can see these strategies are implemented on our people in many different levels and ways, it's happening and it's here. But the thing is, the only way these type of divisions are able to be implemented on us is simply because we don't obey the scriptures and we don't apply them in our lives. Now, what can destroy all of these divisions that's being implemented on us? Well, Leviticus chapter 19, verse 17 and 18.
And one of those, brother. And excuse me, before you go further with that, and one of the divisions that you're talking about is this whole thing about light-skinned girls and dark-skinned girls being punished. Dark-skinned girls being punished more severely than light-skinned girls.
Exactly. Now,
okay.
Now, mind you, this is what the administrators, the statistics of how the administrators are administrating punishments in regards to light-skinned and dark-skinned. This isn't light-skinned and dark-skinned black females among themselves. This is what's happening to them from the outside administration.
Correct.
So
correct.
Something being imposed on them. Okay, so you can see that this letter and everything you're talking about is being used on every level. So you can try to dispute whether it's real or not, but that's foolishness. The fact of the matter is the strategies are used, period. So the thing is, it's always going to go back to, well, how do we break over this? How do we get ourselves out of this mindset that's been forced on us? Well, we got to create a new mindset. We have to be renewed, like the scripture says in Romans 12, renewed in the spirit of our mind. That's through Christ, through repentance. And how do we, and when we do that, what are we going to start applying? What's going to be able to defeat this lie that we're, that's been imposed on us? Leviticus 19, verses 17 and 18. Thou shalt not hate thy brother in thine heart. Thou shalt in any wise rebuke thy neighbor, meaning correct them according to God's word, and not suffer sin upon them. What else it says? Thou shalt not avenge, nor bear any grudge against the children of thy people. But what does it say? Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. You may ask yourself why. You know, and the rest of the verse tells you, I am the Lord. So the thing is, when we begin to apply these commandments, you could have any, what is this? What is this actually going into? This letter and the strategy. That's a weapon. A weapon against our people. And the Most High says, when we come and follow him, that what? No weapon formed shall prosper against thee. But we have to come back to the Most High through Christ, through repentance. And then all of this stuff doesn't even matter anymore.
Josiah, just to add on to that, I'm going back to Romans 13 and verse 3. It says, for rulers are not a terror to good works, but to evil. Wilt thou not then be afraid of the power? And this is the point I want to focus on. Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. So by us adhering to the law, statutes, and commandments of the Bible, through the example of Jesus Christ, we're not going to have the people in our community that are committing the crimes, not on a large scale that they are now. Mm-hmm. We're not going to have to worry about profiling. It says, do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. So I don't have the whole thing of, basically, you're going to have an issue where it's like, okay, well, what's the profile? Well, this person, you know, they're not necessarily known for stealing. That's not really what they do, you know. They're not known for aborting their kids, you know. That's not, they don't really do that, you know. They're not really known for, you know, the fathers just making babies everywhere and just leaving them and, you know, the pants hanging off the behind. That's not really what they do, you know. That's not them. The Lord said, do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. Who is the same that it's talking about? It's talking about the powers that be, when you read up above in 13 and 1. So, again, going back to what Cabal is bringing out, that whole thing about that divide and conquer, it's like, listen, we don't even deal with that. Okay, this light skin, dark skin mess you're talking about, first of all, we don't even deal with that. We deal with the scriptures. And not only am I supposed to deal with people that look like me, according to the word of the Lord, I'm supposed to deal with everybody according to the word of the Lord, whether you white, black, green, blue, whatever. You see? So it just goes back to us following what the Lord said and not even dealing with all these other issues. So back to you, bro.
Okay. So, I mean, that kind of sums it up. I mean, you know, I guess, you know, because I understand that when you, for those that are in the scriptures, the whole thing about apparent race, you know, how somebody looks or even their skin color, you know, that's not playing a part in your decision making and everything. But then for those people who are not in the scriptures, and those people who are in positions of power and the people who are subject to that power, this is what they see. So it sounds to me what your brothers are offering to those who are subject to that power to repent of their sins, and then you don't have to be concerned about punishment for or suffering consequences for anything that you've done wrong. Although you may still suffer consequences or you may be punished for something that you've never done. And under those circumstances, because that can actually happen also, all right, and I think this is kind of what this is indicating to some degree, although it doesn't come out explicitly say it in this article. But in those circumstances, what do you offer to those people who consider that even if I do the right thing, these people are still going to, because I'm subject to them, they are in power. The policemen, the superintendents, the principals, et cetera, et cetera. I'm subject to them, and they're going to look at me, and they're going to judge me based on how I look. And although I'm absolutely innocent, I'm still subject to gain some type of penalty or punishment for something I haven't done. What do you give to them out of the scriptures?
One thing that you can give to them out of the scriptures is that, you know, scriptures is a source of comfort and hope. Now, you know, you may mention, and you use the word subject, I subjected myself to the power, so forth and so on. First and foremost, and I don't want to take it too far off topic, but we got to deal with the faith. And the faith in this particular aspect is, who am I going to subject myself to? Am I going to subject myself wholeheartedly to the powers that be and be done with it? Or am I going to subject myself to the words of the Heavenly Father and Christ and the Bible and be done with it? But the suggestion is to subject yourself to the words of the Heavenly Father wholeheartedly and be done with it. Because when you're doing that, let's read the scripture right quick. Hold on, because I don't want the words to be twisted. So let's just read this right quick. This is Proverbs chapter 16. Oh, there it is. Proverbs 16:7. When a man's ways please the Lord, he maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him. Ultimately, meaning, when our ways and how we carry ourselves and what we do, whether it's behind closed doors in your home or you out in the street buying groceries on the job, when your life is pleasing to the Heavenly Father in that you are following His laws, His statutes, His commandments, you're seeking after Jesus Christ and patterning your life after the example of Jesus Christ, then the Most High will set it up that your enemies or person who may be seeking to do you some type of harm, the Lord will set it up so that you aren't touched by them. And if you are touched by them, it's something very minimal. That, along with 1 Peter chapter 2, and I'll start at verse 18. Servants, be subject to your masters with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the forward. For this is thankworthy if a man for conscience toward God endure grief, suffering wrongfully. So even though the context is for servants to their masters, let's look at what's being said here. Verse 19 is the point. For this is thankworthy if a man for conscience toward God, back to that faith, endure grief, suffering wrongfully. In other words, it's laudable, it's thankworthy if a man in his innocence, quote unquote, in his innocence, he is enduring the wrong or enduring the injustice, suffering wrongfully. Not because he was wrong or he deserved it, but because he didn't deserve it, but he still endured it anyway and went about being that example and serving the Lord despite the injurious wrong that was inflicted upon him. Now, as far as what do you say to somebody who subjects themselves to the powers that be, subject yourself first and foremost to the power of God Almighty Supreme. In that, you will also be in subjection to the powers that be, as long as the powers that be and what they require of you to do does not conflict with the Heavenly Father's ordinances, His laws, His statutes, and His commandments. So starting first and foremost with repentance, and then leading your life according to the example of Jesus Christ, and patterning your life after the example and teachings of Jesus Christ.
Okay. All right. Anybody else want to expound on it?
I was just going to touch that just very briefly, Josiah, because even, you know, just going into what the brother said, even within that, you know, depending on the circumstances and the situation, there are certain ways and means to address grievances. you know, whether it be at the workplace or, you know, you have a run-in with the law and things of that nature. But, again, it just goes back to, I'm going to read St. John 17 and 14, and this is a prayer of the Lord Jesus. It says, I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. So our Lord and Savior already knew that our nation of people, we are scattered to the four corners of the earth, and that we were going to be, you know, in a state of being punished for the breaking of the commandments. Those curses are upon us. But even within that, he knew that even amongst our own people, those of us that actually understand this holy word and we're going to repent, that there was going to be hatred amongst our own people because of the righteousness of the Heavenly Father, following that example of Christ. So 17 and 15, he says that what? I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that they should, that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. So just going right back to what Kazaki was bringing out,
mm-hmm.
it's like, listen, when we serve the Lord, his hand is going to be upon us and keep us from a lot of that foolishness that's going on in this world. All of the evil and the either ill intent that people will have to, you know, would seek to do on us, they're going to be powerless to do a lot of those things because the hand of the Lord is going to be upon us only because we're seeking to repent through Christ and keeping the commandments.
Right.
So, you know, it ain't just some little puff, you know, dream in the sky, whatever. That's written. That's thus saith the Lord. And that's where we put our faith. Because within that also, you know, again, part of repentance is I'm not going to be out there doing a lot of the foolishness that have that type of encounter with law enforcement or anybody else anyway. Okay? I'm not going to be doing that foolishness of getting into a verbal conflict with someone and allowing it to escalate to the point to now it becomes a physical altercation. Because the scripture tells us how to deal with those situations as well. So just by the very nature of observing the commandments of the Lord and applying the wisdom out of the Bible, a lot of the situations that people find themselves in and then trying to argue whether or not in a stolen land that we now reside on called America, whether or not the punishment fits the crime, a lot of times we won't even find ourselves even have to even discuss those topics because we're not going to find ourselves in that situation.
So at that point, it doesn't make any difference whether you light skin or dark skin, does it?
It does not.
Nope.
But to address your question more directly, you know, even when we're doing what we're supposed to do, we're walking the straight line, and basically somebody still wants to, you know, mess with us, for lack of a better phrase, you know, we have submitted ourselves to the Heavenly Father, and within that, you know, there are certain ways to address grievances, you know, and we can take those things up. But at the end of the day, we still have to be in line with what the scriptures say on how to deal with that situation as a foundation and then move on from there. So that's what I wanted to say.
Okay.
Yeah. I wanted to add another thing also to that. You know, looking, dealing with our people, you know, they're looking at, you know, all of the adversities they're going to face in society and, you know, government and, you know, the structure and the way of things as we find them, so on and so forth. And all that can look pretty intimidating, but you got to settle yourself and come to a certain understanding. This is Psalm chapter 46 and verse 7. It says, the Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Come, behold the works of the Lord, what desolations he hath made in the earth. He maketh wars to cease unto the end of the earth. He breaketh the bow and cutteth the spear in sunder. He burneth the chariot in fire. Now here's the point. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. That's what our people have to focus on. The Most High broke the power of Egypt, broke the power of Babylon, broke the power of Medo-Persia, broke the power of the Greeks. He will break the power of the Romans. And he will break the power of all the powers set up now through Jesus Christ, as the prophecy in Daniel's already said. And he will set up this nation under Christ, the nation of Israel. That's the facts. That's what's going to happen. And we need to align ourselves with that power through repentance in Christ, because there is no power greater than the Most High and the power that he's going to set up on this earth through Christ.
Okay. All right. Bro, you want me? You make me want to say amen to that. All right. Well, brothers, as always, I definitely appreciate you joining me here in the virtual living room to go over this topic. Because I know, you know, although a lot of people don't know about this particular situation, but this whole thing about race and how people of quote unquote African American or black backgrounds, how that they're ill-treated and so forth. It's a real pressing issue these days, and there's been a lot of protests and marches and things of that nature going on. And I think it's important that for those who will search for the insight through the scriptures that they be given that. And I appreciate you, brothers, bringing that out in the virtual living room today. But most of all thanks and gratitude goes out first and foremost to the Most High God in the name of His Son, Christ. So until next time, brothers, I'd like to say shalom.
Brothers and sisters, thank you for visiting with us in the virtual living room of the Body of Christ Church. You can visit our website at thebocc.com, or you can email us at bodyofchrist@ureach.com, or call us at 877-871-1712. Until our next visit, the Most High, in the name of Christ, bless you. Shalom.